Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And today I'm interviewing another winemaker and another winemaker whose name I mispronounce. That's going to be a theme coming up. I've got a couple really fascinating women from Italy, from Northern Italy, from the Verona region. Today it is Laura Rizzotto, and she makes excellent, and her and her family make excellent Suave Classico up in the Verona region. The winery, Balestri Valda, I'm sure I screwed that up. The wine that I'm going to focus on, and the reason I am, is this is one that you can get through Barrel Select. And the great thing is Jeff and Dawn, they've done a great job of putting me in contact with all these winemakers, Italy and France and California, which is fantastic. I love the content. I love talking to winemakers, wine owners, people that just work in the business. So I'm really thankful for that. And then the good thing is most of the wines, pretty much all the wines actually, that I highlight are wines that I've either bought or that I've drank and I've enjoyed. I will always say this. I'm never going to be that person that gives praise to wines I don't like. And wines I don't like, I'm usually just not going to talk about. So it's a good relationship. And also, if I can do any little part in helping Jeff and Dawn and Barrel Select, I'm going to. As we talk about all the time, if you have the money, it's a great idea to support your local businesses, whether it be restaurants or, in my case, restaurants and consignment companies. As I mentioned in the last pod, I buy a lot from Barrel Select. I buy a bunch from, and I'm going to buy more in a little bit, with wineonline.ca, and I've been supporting the local wineries. So it's a win-win situation. So yeah, these are some really good wines. And the great thing about the one I'm going to talk about is I'm not usually a big fan of this white wine, this Suave Classico. I've just never been big into a lot of the high mineral, high acid Italian whites, certainly from more of Northern Italy. But this one is good. This one I really enjoy. There's a little more body to it. There's a surprising bit of spice, some tropical fruit that goes with, you know, pear and peach that you would expect from Suave, the lemon zest on the finish, good acidity. This is a good wine. And if you want to buy this wine, and by the way, I bought a case of this even before we were thinking of setting up this interview. I think I bought this case before coronavirus really became a thing. Feels like it's been forever. But if you buy the wine, just use the phrase, or if you call them, or if you email, "because Matt said so," and you'll get $1 off from every bottle. Normally it goes for $18.50. Boom, $17.50. This wine overperforms the price. This is a good everyday white, and is one that actually I am enjoying a glass of right now as it is past 6 o'clock. Of course, it's a coronavirus. If 11 o'clock you want to have a glass of wine, that's fine. That's what time restaurants, you remember restaurants, that's when they would be able to serve you. So enjoy whenever. I'm not going to be the guy that judges you. So this is an interesting conversation all about this grape, Gargagna, which is the grape of Suave, which is an area in Italy. So we talk about her journey into wine, the winery itself, its history, and, you know, we talk a bunch about coronavirus, the impact it's had on her winery, on the Italian community. So just a really nice, high-energy conversation, and you'll get to learn just a little bit about a grape of a region that often makes wine that can underwhelm often. This one, the opposite of that. Again, because Matt said so. If you want to order the wine, and if you're buying a case, hey, you save $12 just by typing in a couple words. Hope, again, everyone is doing well. Enjoy the interview with Laura. Thanks so much for listening.
The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And we now go live all the way to Italy, to I believe the Verona region, but we'll find out more exactly where Laura Rizzotto is. Laura, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Can you pronounce your first and last name just so that I can make fun of myself for how badly I did it?
Yeah, sure. Laura Rizzotto. I know it's very easy to pronounce.
No, it's easy where you are. It's just difficult when you're a dummy like me, and I always have a hard time with names.
Yes, we are in Verona. You are right.
Yeah, and your winery, Balestri Valda, you guys are a big producer, like your big grape or your big wine is Suave Classico, correct?
Yeah.
And I want to talk about it. I bought a case of your wine from Barrel Select here in Toronto. And And I'll be honest. I have often not been a fan of a lot of Northern Italian white wine or Suave. A lot of them I find kind of dull. But with you, there's a little more spice, a little more depth. And I was wondering if you could talk about your wine.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think maybe the secret is the volcanic soil we have. So one of the secrets, at least. We got this very rich in minerals soils because our area is a volcanic area. I mean, millions of years ago, not now, but we have those black rocks that give a specific soul to our wines. The wine become more fragrant, fresher, more complex, very well balanced. Of course, if the season helps, because part of the work is made by the climate. Part of the work is made by us, and our choice is to produce only few bottles. So we are not big at all. We are a family-run, kind of small boutique winery. And so our choice is to focus on quality. Definitely.
I want to talk about your journey and love of wine and more about the volcanic soil. But first, I have to ask you, how are you doing and how has coronavirus affected not just you? Well, let's start. How has it affected you and your winery?
First of all, at the moment, we are all fine, which is the most important thing.
Yes.
I'm trying to stay positive, focusing on my family, planning new opportunities for the future. Springtime has arrived in the vineyards, despite the virus. So vineyard works can't stop. Vines are starting to sprout. Same for the beekeeping. So our honeybees are actually living their most intense period of development. And this means we have a lot to do. But when I drive home at night and I pass through the village of Suave, it looks like a ghost town. The feeling is quite creepy. And actually, the whole country has been on lockdown since March the 10th. People are allowed to go out only for important matters, to buy food, to buy medicines. But my very first problem is logistical. I'm also a mom of a gorgeous 8-month baby, Ettore.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. My husband is working full-time. We can't receive help from grandparents and babysitters because of the lockdown. So in the past month, it has been very challenging for me to manage my company and guide it through the difficult times we are experiencing. Sometimes I can't sleep at night. I think it's normal. Then every morning I feel grateful because this far we are healthy and we are together. I'm just trying not to get too pessimistic about our business. Yeah. But the reality is we are selling almost zero wine. And not to mention the, disintegration of tourism. And we have a brand new bed and breakfast. So it's quite frustrating.
Yeah, that
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I was saying that must be. And it's as we interview this interview, it's Thursday, April 9th. So it's been just about a month in the lockdown. And I love your spirit. And I was interviewing people from California and they have a similar one to you. How much of an impact is this having on the entire Italian wine business?
Well, most of quality wineries like us sell their wines to restaurants and wine stores. Since wine stores are closed in Italy, Italian people are buying the most of the wine at supermarkets where we decided not to place our products. So we are not selling any bottle in Italy. Yes, we do deliver some cases locally, but of course it's a very small business. And the situation is not much better abroad. Most of Italian wineries export the most of their production, and exports are almost suspended now. So I think we are facing a very, very hard challenge. This is for sure.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a very small thing. I can say that there is cases of your wine here in Toronto at Barrel Select. And as I mentioned, I do have a case of it. Well, I've got about 8 bottles left. I mean, you know, I'm spending more time indoors. I'm going to be drinking. Actually, let's go to your relationship with bees. I know it's on your website and all the stuff that I read about you, Laura, that bees seem to be a big part of your life and the winery's life.
Well, bees do not have a specific part in making the wine, I mean, in a strict sense. So you may ask why we care so much about bees. Well, everything started with my husband, Federico. He had this big, big passion for nature and bees. And so he decided to become a beekeeper, and it was a way to spend some time together, because he used to be very, very busy with his work, and the only way to see him was to go together to the apiary and spend some time beekeeping. So it started as love matter. But by becoming beekeepers, we have experienced very deeply how every action we make has an effect on the environment. And this fact really changed my winemaking, my idea about vine growing. So I think that the very least we can do is to save bees. They are so small, so delicate, but at the same time, they play a very big and important role in nature. So it's very important to save them from chemicals, from the monoculture of farming, because the use of herbicides and chemical pesticides has made the environment of many areas almost inhospitable for those insects. So my idea of agriculture is right the opposite. I base just the opposite. I base my idea on respect. So both for nature and for people as well. So in our vineyards, bees find a nice habitat. And the secret is it's very, very simple, biodiversity. So it's a keyword that it's quite trendy nowadays, but biodiversity is very important for us.
Yeah, and I imagine, I imagine you are a different winemaker now in terms of your philosophy versus when you got started.
Well, this for sure. When I finished my university, I was very young. So I got my first degree at university in 2005. So I was 23. And I immediately start to work for my father, with my father, but let's say for my father. My father was and still is a very traditional Italian man. So almost every Italian male winemaker of his generation, he believes that women should not have their own opinion about wine. And not to mention vineyard. So it was tough for me at the very first time because I was so young and couldn't go against my father's ideas for respect for him. Sometimes we are very, very traditional in Italy. And so for the first 10 years of my time at Balestri Valda, I actually focused my work on sales, on promotion. I traveled a lot to build an export market for our wines. I wrote a blog, a wine blog. I kept on studying. So I got a second degree. I learned another foreign language. But most important for the next development, I attended as many organic and biodynamic agriculture courses I could. So after 10 years with this knowledge, I found the energy to face my dad and to try to convince him that my ideas about wine and vineyards made sense and could work. So it took a lot of patience on my side. Yeah, he probably would say the same, my father, Guido. But now the company really speaks my language. And I think it's quite evident if you consider our new, colorful, a little crazy labels. They really tell people that something new happened, but at the same time, I feel very linked to, very connected to my roots, to my family tradition. So the fact that I was born in a family of winemakers is something I could never forget. So cellar was my playground when I was a child. I can innovate, but always inside the steps of my family tradition.
That's a great story, and I'm glad how different things are now versus back in 2005. I was wondering if you could tell people about the grape, because they see the word Suave and they might think that's the grape. No, that's the region, the village of Suave. But the grape, and I always mispronounce it, Gargenia. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit about what that grape means and what that grape should taste like.
The Garganega is our...
Garganega, thank
Garganega,
you.
even more difficult than risotto. Garganega is a native grape, local, indigenous grape. So it's very, very important for the Suave producers because it's a grape variety that you can only find here. It's not an international one. So we really think that Garganega speaks about our terroir. But from Garganega, you shouldn't expect very strong flavors. It's delicate. It often give white flowers aromas. even if Matthew, I have to say that it really changes depending on soil type. So to be more specific, a Soave coming from volcanic basaltic soil can be very mineral and steely, while a Soave coming from limestone, so white rocks, would display more fruit, apricot, sweet apple, citrus notes, even if the grape is the same, Garganega. Probably the real common denominator of Garganega wines is a kind of bitter almond finish, so very, very delicate and pleasantly bitter, not on a negative sense.
Yeah.
This would be the common denominator.
That reminds me a little bit of Verdejo from northern Spain, where that also can have that bitter almond,
yep,
but a very pleasing aftertaste of that. What when I see the word or when someone sees the word Classico on the label, what does that mean?
Well, Soave Classico represents the heart of the Soave wine production zone, which is quite big. While the Classico area is much, much, much smaller. And in the Classico area, we have the best situated vineyards, and many of them as high as 1,000 feet above sea level. So they are the most treasured for wines of age worthiness, which is another of the key word we really think can make the difference about Soave wine when competing to other famous popular white wines from Italy.
If I was going to not drink one or two of your bottles, how long could I age it for?
Well, I would suggest you not to drink some bottles, because I believe it's a pity to drink them when they are still young. The freshness and the high acidity of Garganega and the structure given by the volcanic soils make Soave wines perfect for aging. Actually, one of my last projects regarded the aging, in this case, of our single vineyard Soave named Sengialta. When I was younger, my parents used to sell it after 1 year, and it was a great wine. But I thought it could become something unique if we could be more patient and wait at least 2 years and a half or even 3 years before selling it. So nowadays, Sengialta is presented to our clients, to our importers, only after 3 years. And I just love the mineral aromas, the saltiness, even the hydrocarbon hints. Of course, it's not a taste for everybody. So there's a difference in terms of easy consumption versus more complex consumption. When the Soave is young, it's very immediate. It's very easy to drink, and you don't have to overthink about what you have in the glass. But yeah, if you have the patience of waiting, the result would be a very, very complex and powerful white wine with those particular aromas that you sometimes find in German Riesling, for example, if you like that kind of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I absolutely love it. And what I think I'll do is I will throw about four of your bottles away for at least the next 3 years, because yes, I found aged Verdejo was wonderful and also much less expensive than some of, say, those German Rieslings. And if you give it 3 to 5 years, it's well worth the wait.
Yeah, I agree.
How difficult is it to decide when to pick the grape? And when I talk to winemakers, it always seems like there's a battle between science versus the art behind it. And I was wondering just your own process when it comes to picking grapes.
Well, it's not difficult if you know what you are doing. I mean, experience is the most important aspect. Even if it's every year a little bit more complicated because we are experiencing this climate change, and every year the harvest time, the harvest period changes. It used to be always end of September for Garganega.
Yep.
And nowadays it changes a lot every year. So you really need to feel the grape. It's not just a mm-hmm. matter of checking how many grams of sugar and the pH. It's not only science. You really need to walk through the vineyards and look at the color, taste the grape, taste the flavor, and it's a lot of art also.
Where I'll let you go soon because I know how super busy you are there in Suave. And again, people can find the wines at barrelselectwines.com. If you are listening to this in Ontario, barrelselectwines.com. Where would you like to see yourself in the winery in the next 5 to 10 years?
I really have this project to be more and more sustainable. So all my efforts are going into this direction. I want to leave a better planet to Ettore, my son, and to his generation. So I really want to show that you can produce excellent wines, quality wines, without destroying our environment. So every project I am starting is aimed to the same purpose. And our brand new touristic project, we are starting with this new side, new branch of our company, which is the tourism, and the name of the place is Arcadia Wine Resort. And the idea behind it is just it's just the same. So the idea that you can be sustainable and at the same time experience quality and beauty, so you don't have to choose between being sustainable and being good. This is the key word I'm trying to keep in my mind. So I just see myself keeping on with this project with more and more strength. And this big challenge we are facing worldwide is making my convictions even stronger. I really think it makes evident that we are all connected, and the balance is very, very fragile.
That's a great answer. That's a great way to end this. Laura, first off, I really appreciate you doing this interview. I love your journey from where you started from university in 2005 to what you're doing now with your philosophy with the winery. I can tell people again, the even young, the Suave Classico is excellent. And I really appreciate you joining the show. Be safe and all the best to you, your family, all the workers at the winery. And hopefully we all get through this sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Matthew. It has been a big pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can download, you can find me on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.